Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. This is a special segment on Notepad called The Economics of Elections, where we unpack some of the developing stories on the elections within the context of the economy. Joining me in the studio is none other than our good friend of the show, Azmi Zulkifli, the CEO of InvestKL. Azmi, thanks again for taking the time to come over. We need to ask you some pertinent questions, particularly when it comes to the reality of things. Of course, people are saying that Malaysia is part of the many, many countries that are facing economic uncertainties of 2023. A lot of the conversations that when we look at the stump speeches from the politicians during this campaign period, they argue that perhaps now is the time for us to talk more about how we can rebuild the nation economically. Before we jump into all the future promises or what we should be doing, I think it's better to talk about the realities of things. Maybe you can share with us what has happened throughout 2022, particularly when it comes to investments coming into InvestKL, and see where things stand before we start talking about whether or not we're in trouble or otherwise.
Thank you, Ibrahim, for having us today. The investment landscape, trade, as well as activities in this particular space is an interesting landscape. What we have seen and what we are seeing in this year especially is also a lot of noise. The news about every time the Federal Reserve increasing their rates, the energy prices soaring, the tensions in some parts of the world where they are having a bit of a geopolitical tension. All those news put together certainly give a lot of negative vibes. But if we drill down into Kuala Lumpur as well as Malaysia, we must always remember about the business policies, the fundamentals that are put in place to stimulate the economy, to generate income, as well as to encourage investments into the country. From that instance, we could see a strong momentum with regards to the interest of companies looking to explore what they can do more in Kuala Lumpur as well as Malaysia, and looking to also put in place a number of their investments here. Okay. In greater KL.
Now, of course, you're looking at MNCs, global MNCs, to pump their cash here. And of course, it has to be compensated or remunerated with excellent service, great price, perhaps, and of course, supported by good infrastructure. How much investments have come in, at least for this year, versus other years?
Sure. This year alone, as at 30th June 2022, we have so far recorded 1.68 billion ringgit in investment. That is up to about more than 30% compared year on year.
This has realized or pledged?
Year. These are committed investments over the 2022 period. Certainly, at any time when a commitment on investment is registered, the landing of the real investment will be in between 1 to 3 years of operations of an MNC. Within all that, it is also to ensure that with the investments, they have also put in the necessary variables with regards to the investment. Hiring of people, the capital expenditure that is put in place with regards to the investment. Most importantly also, the spillover to the ecosystem. When MNCs come into the country, the spillover to the ecosystem would be with regards to creation of new jobs, with regards to the spillover in working with the small, medium enterprises. And most importantly to us as well, within Greater KL context, is to work with the academia. How can they close the collaboration in R&D and innovation to further spur future investments?
So 6.8 billion committed as of June 30th. What's the projection looking like for 31st December this year?
As we look at the next 3 months, actually, we are quite confident and optimistic with regards to even exceeding our investments for the whole total of last year. For the record, we registered 2.46 billion ringgit in investments for the whole of 2021. When we closed the books in September, 30th September, we are up now to about 2.8 billion. And perhaps by the end of the year, we would be able to achieve a 3 billion mark with regards to the investments.
Ringgit
investments.
And of course, you were talking about the ancillary services that is going to be garnered from this type of investments, collaboration with MNCs and universities. Could you share with us some of the numbers there?
Sure. within this year alone, as at 30th of September, there are 10 multinational companies that have put in their commitment to invest in the Greater Kuala Lumpur area. What's interesting here is the investment cuts across a number of industries, in the medical technology, in the fast-moving consumer goods, as well as in the specialized chemicals activity. So it's quite a good spread of these investments, also across the region, from the Americas, from the Europe, as well as from the Asia region, especially from China, as well as Japan.
There's also an Australian company, right?
Exactly. There's also an Australian company. And within all that as well, there have also been some public announcements as well as public launches. Right? Okay. And these companies are doing and positioning themselves very well in the region. When you talk about and when you mention about the Australian company, this is the company called Arnott's. When we mention the name Arnott's, it may not ring a bell, but the products within Arnott's are probably something that we would be familiar with. The Campbell soup, Tim Tam biscuits, as well as a few other products from Prego, for example. Those are all under the Arnott's brand. They have now established their Asia-Pacific regional hub in Greater Kuala Lumpur, also with an eye to set up a new factory of the future, in the northern part of Kuala Lumpur. Yeah? And this all focuses with regards to all the activities in their value chain, supply chain, as well as moving them into their robotics area of investments. So it's an important investment with regards to that.
When you talk to these companies, these MNC companies, what would be some of the top three concerns that they ask you commonly? Do you feel that political risk is one of them? Is it fluctuation of the currency? What's bothering them right now?
Sure. In that context, any business would appreciate the changes within the country. Yeah? The process of the democracy will have to take its course. However, from a business standpoint, one thing that I'd like to see is certainty and continuity. Certainty on government policies to be pro-business and continuity on the proactive business activities that are happening in the country. That's something that they look for very much. On another scope is also looking at how can they build a lot more stability with regards to some of the variables that they deal with. One variable would be working with the small medium enterprises, to have that stability in value chain, supply chain, and that certainty with regards to the flow of products as well as services, right? The other part that MNCs would invest as well, their time and money, is with regards to stabilize the talent pipeline, working with the universities to look at how they can collaborate closer to get the industry insights to be incorporated within these universities. So that's something that in the long run would benefit the company, would benefit the investment, as well as provide that certainty and continuity to their business.
Do you feel that they are looking at the outlook of the country when it comes to the elections? Do you feel that they are worried whether or not this political risk is going to increase? Where is the outlook concerns when it comes to investors, both big and small, coming into Malaysia right now?
Certainly, out there, we could look at the noises of politics. Yeah, not just in our country. There are many, many elections are also happening outside of our country. One thing that we could recognize from these large multinationals are when they place an investment in a country, they are committed for the long run. Where, at the same time, they wanted to also ensure that they can engage with the stakeholders. Today, the professional civil servants are running the country, and to execute the necessary activities that needed to be done to facilitate ease of doing business and moving forward to engage with the stakeholders to ensure that this continuity and stability will result in a proactive business environment, in an environment that they can continue to grow as they move forward. Industries are they are open to sharing all these ideas or to sharing their best practices with the government and any government of the day that comes into a country as they assume power. And this is where, at the end of the day, it is a win-win relationship. Businesses need to prosper. the country and the government needs to continue to develop as an economy, as an industry, as a favorable investment destination. And with that, although it needs to have that industry, public-private collaboration to drive that forward.
You know, I want to benchmark Malaysia as an attractive area or location for investment with vis-a-vis our partners, our neighbors, from Indonesia to Vietnam to Singapore and many others. Two interviews that I've done very recently, one of them is with Tan Sri Nur Azlan, currently with Minda UKM. He is, of course, currently in Harvard University. Last night, he was talking about the fact that people don't talk about Malaysia at all, both either in positive or negative terms. He was postulating that Malaysia is absent in the minds of investors and economists in the US. This is similar to another interview that I've just done very recently with Aaron Sarma, with you actually, during Budget Day, where he went to the VC Day, VC Summit in or Venture Capital Summit in Singapore. People talking about, you know, Vietnam, Thailand, the pros and cons of doing business here and there, Singapore as well, but no mention of Malaysia. So, do you think that this is a view that is prevalent, where Malaysia is absolutely forgotten in the eyes or minds of investors and economists out there in the world?
In our many conversations on a daily basis, we speak to investors, we speak also to our partners, partners that are here in the region and around the world. Notably, Malaysia has been a little bit quiet. There are pros and cons to that. There are plus and minuses to that. A bit quiet in the sense that we know that if you're going to do something in Malaysia, it will work. It will work. And what we wanted to do something in Malaysia, it really needs to be fitting to the country with the scheme of things. For example, we are talking about 32 million population. We are talking about an educated population as well, quite a young workforce in that particular context. So all that putting into perspective is certainly to see what right investment needs to come into the country. Right, looking at some of the noises that are out there with regards to our neighbours, we could also comparatively look at where they are compared to us maybe 5 years ago, where we were driving a lot more of our basic manufacturing investments that we wanted to attract into the country. They are probably there. Right, we have moved a little bit ahead where we need to be selective in the type of investments that we need to attract here. The number of investments that have come in across the country, even not just in Greater Kuala Lumpur, has been steady investments and has been looking at a lot more towards some of the more established industries. In the north, we could see a lot more investments in the semiconductor industry, electrical electronics industry. In the east, we could see a lot more investments in the chemical space because of where they wanted to position and focus those investments over there. In the south, a lot more greenfield investments are being focused about with regards to how they wanted to develop that part. And within Greater Kuala Lumpur is to look at what are the advantages in Kuala Lumpur that we wanted to put on the table for investors to evaluate as well as look at that type of investments that fits the Greater Kuala Lumpur area. So putting all that together, certainly there is no one clear voice about what Malaysia is doing today.
All right.
Right? And that's where the quiet comes about, I think, the comment on that part.
Okay. Yeah. But that surely isn't spelling anything good, because our neighbours are aggressive and making a lot of noise and getting all the attention from these investors. What must be done, at least from the political sphere, you think, that can ensure that Malaysia remains to be top of mind for investors right now?
We need to have a very focused and concentrated effort to attract investments. Most recently, the Ministry of International Trade and Industry launched the National Investment Aspiration. That puts together the plan for investments, the type of focus of investment that we wanted to do from 2021 all the way to 2030. That needs to be rolled out as we move forward. The government that will have to come in after this would have to assume that role and to communicate that clearly. by spelling out the type of activities that we wanted to do and to look at how we can target the right companies, maybe the right countries perhaps, to look at putting them all into that perspective and creating that buzz again, creating that focus towards the type of investments that we wanted to do and to look at how we want to put all that together. Now, putting that into context, those are all in place. What we needed to focus also are the variables around investment, that all this needs to also come in line. For example, our policy on foreign workers. We are talking about expatriates. Our policy towards activities within the human resource space, maybe, right? Our policies towards tax and how we want to create to be a more dynamic tax structure as well as adopting to the international rulings. So all that variables have to also come together to be part of this commonality of wanting to attract investments that will drive creation of jobs, that will drive growth for the country and the community, as well as putting all that perspective towards positivity for the country.
I have ascertained that four ministries are crucial following your statements. They are the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, Home Ministry, Finance Ministry when it comes to taxation, and of course trying to evaluate whether or not we could create a tax conducive environment for expatriates as well as high skilled workers. And it looks like HR Ministry is also very important. Because of these four ministries, as per detailed by you, being critical to ensure that all these are going to be coming in, to ensure that investments are coming in consistently and sustainably over a long period of time, it seems like these four ministries are going to be in focus when the election is done. Do you feel that the government that wants to come in, and they're going to stand for election very soon, do you think that they realize the seriousness of the matter when it comes to managing these four ministries?
If we look at the potential government that's going to come in, or even the cabinet ministers that will be appointed, I must say that across the board, you will see experienced faces, right? People who have some feel about maybe running a state, then moving on into a parliamentary seat, as well as potential of running a country. From that standpoint, we could see the experience throughout. Notably, from our experience, we could see that the understanding on business, economy, as well as community is consistent across any part of the divide. Right? And this is where we need to continue to drive those messages. We need to continue to have industry dialogues to be specific in addressing some of the concerns of the industry, maybe. We need to have focus groups to drive the economy forward and look at how we can put things into perspective. Let's put all these resources together, because when a multinational comes into the country to invest, they are not looking at the short term, which means if they can be part of policy shaping, they are willing to. If they can be part of improving certain types of processes, they are willing to put in their energy as well as their resource to put that perspective into context.
So what you're trying to say is constant engagement, dialogue, openness, the ability for us to see if we don't know something, we ask for it, know what you don't know. These kind of attributes must be critical for the incoming government. Is that critical right now?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The world is changing too fast these days. Yeah? The technology, the methods of running an organization, business modeling have also changed tremendously these days. And what more than better is sharing of between public and private about how can we position certain industries, how can we focus on the future of work, how can we also focus on the future industries that we wanted to attract, and to ensure all these are put together as clear plans for short to mid-term, as well as longer-term plans, so that all these attributes can fall into place. Some things need time to change. For example, policy shaping, it needs to go into the lower houses, the upper houses, before the passing of the bill, right? And all this needs to be driven with a very clear focus, as well as objective, for the country to prosper in the near future.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with InvestKL. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Azmi Zulkifli, the CEO of InvestKL. So Azmi, the other area that I want to look at is, of course, how do we see the proposition that has been brought forth by the three main coalitions, Pakatan Harapan, Perikatan Nasional and Barisan Nasional. Do you feel that they are concerted in some of the ideas that they want to bring when it comes to investment and the economy? Do you feel that many of them need a lot of work when it comes to trying to flesh out details on how they want to improve, say, for instance, working conditions, technology advancement, and many more? Where do you see the commonalities and where do you see the kind of differentiation factors when it comes to all these different parties right now gunning for the election?
Across the coalition, I think we can agree on one thing. The need to drive economy, the need to create the right type of jobs, as well as to ensure that no society gets left behind. That's the main headline, right? That's consistent. However, if we're going to look at all these activities or the pursuing actions that needed to take place, this is probably where some approaches would be slightly different from one party to the other. At the end of the day, I guess it's also about any government that comes into power would have to sit with the civil service, yeah, the professionals running the country at the moment, to look at how can we close the gap, how can we make changes to certain things to move forward, and to put all that into context at the end of the day with actionable items that we need to drive with regards to the topics of investment, trade, as well as facilitation. Looking at what has been happening in the past years, especially, the country is on the right path of growth. We have in March been part of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. Most recently, that will also take effect will be the CPTPP. Yeah? Apart from that as well, Malaysia is also part of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework. On that scale, Malaysia is always on that platform to continue to drive the country as an open trading nation. That's an important variable to show that we are open to any economy to trade as well as to invest. Now it's a matter about realizing those trade agreements to see how, not just for the country, but for the small medium enterprises to grow, also for the people to have that ability as well as the opportunity on mobility as well as experience to be part of the bigger scheme of a trade agreement.
So it seems like if the government, incoming government, does not create that close collaboration and ties or trying to work at least with the civil servants, we run the risk of not being able to realize those kind of lofty aspirations from these international trade agreements. Do you feel that we have seen the worst when it comes to, say, politicians not working collaboratively with civil servants? Is that a risk that really concerns you right now?
To put that into context, I guess at any point in time, there needs to be a reality check. With all the plans that we have on the table, where are we with those plans, right? This is when I say it's a reality check, it's always that good perspective about before creating a new plan, let's look at what works today and let's look at what we can improve upon moving forward from there. Now, that communication and discussion needs to be an open one so that we do not focus our resources too much towards plan building rather than execution. Today, I think every ministry would have at least a 5-year or 10-year plan with regards to their respective activities. Now, it's just a matter about how do we execute those plans. how would have the plan changed as a result of the past 2 years? How would have the plan changed with regards to some of the socio-economic or geopolitical impact that we are seeing outside of the country at the moment? Do we need to alter or do we need to amend certain of these plans and move forward with it? So now is I think, a time for execution. It's no longer a time about debating about what is good or what is bad. It's about coming together and concerting our efforts to push the country for the next level.
My final question to you is this, Azmi. If, say, for instance, Barisan Nasional is returned to power, I don't see much policy changes and much activity changes. Things just will just go on as per normal, as per previous government. But assuming that Perikatan Nasional comes in, or Pakatan Harapan comes in, or some other coalition comes in, will the shock of change be too dramatic for, say, for instance, InvestKL to bear, or MITI to bear, or investors to bear? Do you feel that the new government coming in, assuming it's not the incumbent government, is going to create more problems in attracting investment, or less problems in attracting investments?
In any instances or scenario, we will work with any government that comes in. Going back to that perspective, this is where I guess we've got to go back to explaining as well as determining what we are doing best at. Working with the new people that will come in to assume the office, to focus on what's best that's running part of the activities within InvestKL, for example. Some of the attributes that we have, maybe sharing some of the challenges that we face, yeah, and trying to put that into perspective to see what would their ideas be then to execute those plans better, right? From that angle, it is
finding
very
middle
clear.
Ground, basically.
Yeah, finding that middle ground. From that angle, I think it's very obvious that every agency within the government has a function to play. We just need to refine those functions, and if there needs to be a little bit of tweaking, we should do that. But at the end of the day, to have that focus to drive those activities, to drive those investments forward, and to ensure that we give back to what has been committed with regards to our plans, with regards to our mandate for the country.
Fantastic, Azmi. That was Azmi Zulkifli, the CEO of InvestKL. Do check out more of their work. InvestKL can be found everywhere right now online. Their main purpose is, of course, to attract international investments. But if you want to collaborate with them, please feel free to do so as well. But for now, our focus and attention continues to be on Nomination Day. That's going to be done on November 5th. Remember, all the coalitions have announced their candidates. However, nothing is being said and done until they actually close and seal the deal on November 5th. Stay on with Astro Awani as we continue to bring you live updates up to November 5th and all the way to polling day on November 19th. Till then, thanks very much for watching. My name is Ibrahim Sani. This is Notepad on Economics of Elections. Astro Awani, your election channel.